comment is, in Mark 3, there were unclean spirits, and Jesus told them, after they proclaimed Him to be the Son of God, not to tell anyone. She's right, and that happened a few times. Yet He Himself proclaimed that He was. He's referred to Himself by Son of David, Son of Man. Those are titles of the Messiah. And so He also told His disciples to go out two by two and declare the gospel. The observation is that He told them, the demons, not to proclaim Him. Why? If we're to understand why He told them to not do that, we have to understand why they did that. Now, they were demons. They knew they were in a different kingdom. For 4,000 years already, they had been participating very actively in a different kingdom. They got the kingdoms. There was no demon that was particularly enamored with Christ. Okay, that was a strategy. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a field. And the owner of the field goes and he plants wheat. But then his enemy comes and he plants tares. And the workers come and he say, didn't you plant wheat? But there's a lot of tares in here. And he said, an enemy has done this. Okay, now this is the very same reason why demons do it today. Don't think for a minute that demons don't proclaim Christ to be the Son of God today. They do it all the time. It is the angel of light principle. Follow an angel of light and you're following a demon. So what's the angel of light going to do? He's going to proclaim light. But he is not of the light. He proclaims light. There are angels of light in pulpits. Now, you can't say this one is, this one is, this one is, this one is, this one is. You can't do that. However, the tree is known by its fruit. So I can say this tree is of God and this tree is not of God because of its fruit. What does that look like for the fruit of a pulpit? This tree proclaims light. This tree proclaims the gospel, the finished work, the cross, the full counsel. A pulpit that is like that is a tree of life pulpit. That is God's pulpit. And it's the angel of the Lord who's speaking to the messenger in that pulpit for that assembly. Because that's His message. On the other hand, you have angels of light in pulpit. They also preach a message. They'll proclaim Christ to be Savior. However, they won't proclaim the finished work. They might attack people in their pulpits. Sometimes you do come across pulpits where the preacher gets in there, he starts attacking. They get defensive. They won't win the lost. They resist the things of God and propagate the things that are not of God. They oppose the Word, promote the flesh. These are angel of light pulpits, and they're not that rare. Anyone who would attack another believer is practicing the ministry of Satan. And so, these are angel of light pulpits. It's not the Spirit of God that is in that pulpit. It's another spirit. Whenever you see, then I think the number one thing, and this is like the thing, Satan always shows his hand. He always overplays his cards. And he reveals his hand. The most common revealing that Satan has of his hand is accusation. That's the most common type. There's other types also, but that one happens, I think, more often than all the others. Number one, it's more effective. Number two, it's his ministry. He has always had a ministry of accusation. Ever since Lucifer became Satan, it's been a ministry of accusation. That's all he has. He can't proclaim anything new because the gospel is already established. He doesn't possess a message. And so what he has to do is proclaim the old, the flesh, whatever, or accuse. And he does both. And in doing the one, he ends up doing the other. Be careful whenever you hear accusation. It's never right from God. Don't listen to it. Accusation takes place in this fashion. There is one who accuses, and then there is one who listens. Both of them have equal culpability. The fault is the same. Because where no one listens, no one can accuse. I can only be an accuser to a listener. I can't be an accuser without a listener. So the fault is the same. That's evil. So when you have pulpits, and this happened, remember in the 80s with the Jimmies? How many pulpits ripped into those two men? Every single one of those pulpits, at least at that particular time, was listening to Satan and not to the Spirit of God. Every single one of them. And there were a lot. Because any place you go, you have wheat and tares. We can't tell the difference, usually. But sometimes the fruit shows up. Any pulpit we go to, churches as a whole, we have wheat and tares. The fruit is a little bit more obvious in a ministry, in a full ministry, than it is in somebody's life. You don't stand there judging somebody's life. But if they present you with fruit, you do have the right to evaluate the fruit. Because a good tree won't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree won't produce good fruit. The number one type of Satan's fruit is accusation. It right there. Let's say that I sit here and I just sit here and do nothing. That's one thing. Or I can start doing something. That's another thing. Now, if I'm just going to sit here, there's not much point in being here. But if I'm going to do something, then there becomes some significance to being here. That's the same difference as you have between kakos and poneros evil. Kakos evil is an intrinsic evil. It's inherent within, but it doesn't necessarily manifest. It's like sitting here. It's something that goes on in people's hearts, kakos evil. But it just sits there. Now, the enemy will not be content with kakos evil. Because sitting here accomplishes nothing. And he is in a war, and he's very well aware that he's in a war because he started the war. And so he's at war actively. Who is he at war against? He's at war against God. What's the battlefield? Our minds. The earth is not the battlefield. The earth is nothing more than a staging area. It's the minds that are the battlefield. So if kakos evil is present, it's required to exist first. But if that's all you have very little. Kakos evil will not suffice in a demon's eyes, because he's at war. So he will make sure where there's kakos, eventually it will become poneros. Paneros evil is evil that is now spreading. How does it spread? Communication. People start talking. First they'll start with insinuations, edges of negativity. Then when they gain your trust, they will be a little bit more forthright. And they will out and out attack, accuse, malign, slander. That's Satan's ministry. When you see that fruit, understand what you're looking at. When you see that fruit, you're looking at evil. You're not looking at your buddy. You don't war against flesh and blood. Your buddy's voice box has been occupied because their volition is cooperative. You're looking at evil. What does evil look like? Evil is not a Hollywood rendition. Evil is very attractive very often. Because if it wasn't attractive, people wouldn't be drawn to it. What does evil look like? See, people don't say, "Oh, that's not evil, that's my friend." But your friend is participating in evil. We have this sentimentality going on where we want to cut that off. What's the result if evil doesn't get cut off? Destruction. The result is destruction. Remember, you're in a war. It's destruction. Number one, it's destruction of the person's own capacity. The person who has started the repeating process of accusation has already had their capacity destroyed. It's not their capacity that's being destroyed. It's the listener's capacity that's being destroyed. Those are the cockatrice eggs. So we don't ever listen to accusation. We don't say, "Come here," and then have somebody accuse somebody to us. Why? Because the fault is ours if we listen. Why? Because if I don't listen, they're not talking. So I'm the gateway. I'm the one who is energized and enabled and given force to it. So we've got to get away from that. Somebody starts giving me evil, to knock it off. Don't want to hear it. It's interesting. If you will not listen to it, people won't give it to you. It's really simple. If you're somebody who won't listen to evil, if you're somebody who won't listen to accusation, people won't accuse people to you. If you stand up when somebody starts accusing, maybe they don't know you, and they start accusing you, "Hey, I don't want to hear that. You get that away from me," and you get right with God. They're not going to say a word. And people are going to get wind of your spirit. See, that's the thing. They're going to get wind of your spirit. They're going to, you see, kindred spirits? They're going to get wind of your spirit. They're going to sense from you that you are not somebody to take that to. Now, they may sense it if they know you. If they know you, they'll sense it. If they don't know you real well, they may not sense it right away if they're not particularly discerning. But people who are into evil are not usually all that discerning. Right? They don't know their own spirit. That's why they're in it. And so we have to be very cautious that way. We don't want to enter into this accepting evil because now we're infected. And once you receive it, I don't care how hard you try to think right, it's in the back of your mind. And it crops up and crops up and doubts and lingers and, you know, suspicions and it crops up. Why? Cockatrice eggs. Those are cockatrice eggs. That's what they do. When they start hatching, they start biting. It's difficult to get rid of cockatrice eggs. Some people never get rid of cockatrice eggs. Because when a cockatrice egg sets in, it's very hard to get rid of. Why? Because it's established itself in your mind. Here's the thing about the brain. Once it's in the brain, it doesn't leave.
So how do you get rid of it? Well, usually you don't. That's the problem. This is why we guard our hearts. This is why we make right decisions. Can it leave? Yes, it can. Certain things leave more easily than others. For example, if I'm someone who's made mistakes in their life before salvation, let's say, or even after salvation, I fall into sin. I get right with God and I mix faith with the finished work. I mix faith with the fact that I'm cleansed by the blood. I mix faith with the fact that I'm a new creation. I embrace that. I mix faith with it. I let it permeate me. I can only do that if I'm living in the force of the new creation, in the life of the new creation, if I'm living in the spirit life. I can't do that if I'm living in self-consciousness. Because in self-consciousness, the dog returns to his vomit. In self-consciousness, the soul clings to dust. If I'm receiving the finished work message in self-consciousness, I'm not mixing faith with it. If I'm receiving it in self-consciousness, I will actually sometimes be condemned by it and be rejecting of it if it touches something in my life. It's not something that's wrong with the message. It's something that's wrong with my relationship to the message. What's wrong with it is I'm self-conscious, still clinging to the dust, seeing my entire, however many years I have been on earth, in my opinion, as being my life, claiming my past, when Christ has removed it and given me a new past. In self-consciousness, I'll try to claim the old. Not consciously claiming it like I want it, but living in its after effects. Rejecting that which would deliver me from those after effects. That's actually relatively easy to get rid of. What I do there is I start to mix faith with the finished work, and I allow the finished work to become my personal identity. And so when Jesus says He makes all things new, I start to believe Him, using my volition to do it, that He really does make all things new. When Jesus says that I'm a new creation, I start to believe Him, I embrace it using my volition to do it, and I start experiencing the benefits of being that new creation. When Jesus said the blood cleanses me from all sins, that He removes my sins as far as the east is from the west, that in His all knowledge He has no knowledge of those sins, so they are utterly gone, not just removed and put somewhere else, but completely removed from history, because God knows history. When I actually decide I'm going to believe what God said about this, then I'll have deliverance from that. And then those lines of thinking in my brain can be broken and the memory removed and purged. That's why I say when you have memories of your past, you're actually having false memories that Satan is projecting to you, because God has already removed those things. They don't exist. That's self-accusation through projection. It's a lie. We say, well, how can that happen? Well, how could God create the world? How is it that a man can enter his mother's womb a second time? And, you know, be born again. God does things that we don't get. Hello? So what else is new? Now, the evil part is more difficult. That often doesn't leave. Can leave, often doesn't. Why? Because evil tends to mix itself with self-righteousness. Remember, the throne of iniquity works mischief by the law. This is how it works. Evil mixes with self-righteousness. I'm blind to my self-righteousness. And when I become blind to my self-righteousness, that's where the evil itself has lodged itself. And it works its way into my very identity. Not an identity that I desire necessarily to get rid of. And there's the problem. Like, if I go out there and I fornicate, and then I get right with God, very frequently that believer has remorse and regret over that fornication. And they would love nothing more than for that to have never happened. Well, that person is relatively easy to deliver if they mix faith with the finished work. And the effects of that fornication can be broken, including the memory. Evil's different. When a person lives in self-righteousness, they will be willing to accept the accusations. They lodge themselves in their self-righteousness because it strengthens that self-righteousness. Because now I live in a relative righteousness, which is what I have to do to listen to an accusation anyway. When I listen to that accusation, it lodges itself in my self-righteous identity of who I am as a Christian. I don't consider that to be corrupt. That's hard to get rid of. Then it starts cropping up. I think about the person and it pops up. And I try to push it away. It pops up anyway. I cast down imaginations and high things, and the next thing I know, it's popping up anyway. Why? I haven't dealt with the self-righteousness. It's the self-righteousness that brings, that fuels the cockatrice eggs. That's what they feed on. Deal with the self-righteousness, and you deal with the cockatrice egg. But people don't recognize it, even when they recognize, okay, wow, that was evil. But now I'm stuck in this place where I just can't change the way that I think, and this person that was accused, it's always, okay, yeah, this is in the back of my mind all the time with them. Yeah, self-righteousness. And I try to squash the thoughts, and they won't go away. For a little bit, they'll go away. Okay, I can force myself through discipline to think about something else, but then they pop up again. Then at a moment when I'm perhaps relaxed or something, and my mind starts to wander there again. Self-righteousness is your problem. Your problem is not the cockatrice. Well, your problem is the cockatrice eggs. But it has sheltered itself in self-righteousness, so you don't recognize it. You can't find it. You recognize that the egg is there because you see its fruit. It's biting you. It's hatched. Now it's biting you. You recognize the biting, but you can't find it. It's hidden in the self-righteousness. That's where it is. When that takes place, because believers can't identify it, they don't get delivered from it. They try to deal with the thought itself, but what they're dealing with is the venom, not with the serpent. And they can't find the serpent, so they never deal with the serpent. The serpent is hidden in the self-righteousness. That's where they are. That's the location. Deal with the self-righteousness, you'll get rid of the serpent. That's resisting the devil in this particular application. Can't resist them if you can't find them. It's like having a sniper. You got a sniper and nobody knows where he's hidden. He's just plucking people off. And nobody knows where he's hidden. Everybody knows there's a sniper. But nobody knows where to hide. Nobody knows where to fire. Because they don't know where the sniper is. They just know there's a sniper. That's the cockatrice egg. It works very much like that. It's well hidden. We know it's there because it started biting, but we don't know where to find it, so we can't deal with it. The most insidious diseases are the ones that hide themselves in the place of your protection. In other words, so like AIDS, for example. AIDS hides itself in white blood cells. White blood cells were sent to destroy the AIDS. So AIDS hides itself in the white blood cells. And so now you have a disease that's extremely difficult to deal with because the body can't find it. Because it's hidden in the thing that's hunting for it. If I try to hunt out my cockatrice through self-righteousness, I should do better, I know better, I should do better, I can't do it, I should do... I'll never find it. Because it's hiding in the place that's hunting for it. But if I simply recognize, wow, I'm living in self-righteousness, then I can deal with the self-righteousness. I can't deal with the cockatrice egg. You can't deal with those. You can't get rid of the enemy. You can resist him, but you can force him to flee. The way that you force him to flee in this application is by dealing with that self-righteousness, because that's his hiding place. It's like saying, okay, you got AIDS, take out the white blood cells. You can remove the white blood cells, you get rid of the AIDS. Now, of course, you know, in medicine we can't do that because then you'll die of pneumonia. Okay, but that kind of an idea. And so you deal with the hiding place. This is, for example, why the kingdom of heaven is like this too. Kingdom of heaven is like a field that has a treasure buried in it. You buy the field to get to the treasure, but the field is more than just the treasure. Right? Some of the things in the field aren't great. Some of them are very good. But you're looking for the treasure that's in the field. And that's why you bought that whole field. It's like churches. People will criticize a church because not everybody is just so in the church. Oh, no kidding. Not everybody is just so in the hospital. Do you criticize that? Right? Well, people criticize the church because not everybody's just so in the church. Yeah, okay, but there's a treasure there also. You got to buy the whole, you kind of take the whole package if you want the treasure. And you don't worry about the rest. You're after the treasure. And so we operate that way.